podcasting from deep in the bowels of Coast City Comics in Portland, Maine. These are the new comic listings for 10-14-20. We have the end of the Age of Khonshu in Avengers. We've got a brand new Rorschach series starting. We have X of Swords by the dozens. We've got Immortal Hulk with another amazing issue. This is, actually comics. Hey Bob, how's it going?
Good, how are you?
I'm doing pretty great.
Neat.
So this is kind of a new attempt. We're going to be doing this in the store. Bob and I are actually live in Coast City Comics. I mean, not live to you, but live to us. We're like in front of each other through like 16 sheets of plexiglass on either side.
And without a net.
Without a net, just like maybe a Van Halen record. I can't remember what that was.
Felt timely.
Was that really what it was called? Was that a Van Halen album?
I think it might have been. There's something Live Without a Net is a live album by some band, and I apologize for not knowing if it was Van Halen, but I think it was Van Halen. I should Google it.
Yes. So we got a bunch of crazy shit in this week. It's going to be fun. I'm actually looking forward to so many of these things. There were a couple of them that I thought I was looking forward to, and I think I may have changed my mind halfway through, but we'll see. Let's see. What do we got here? Oh boy, where should we start?
It is Van Halen.
It is. Oh, thank God. Good. I'm glad you got that one right.
It's a concert video.
Okay. It all makes sense now. So we have, I'm going to start at the bottom here. And, by the bottom, I'm going to say that would be Glenn Danzig's comic book, Muertina.
I thought it looked pretty good.
It looks pretty good.
Yeah.
And I got to say, whoever the dude is doing the first little snippet of this thing is aces.
Yeah.
Love that guy.
It said Jason Blood was the artist.
I think.
At least as far as I recall.
I wonder if that is like some guy who does not want his career tarnished by being associated with Verotic Comics.
I don't know why that would be, because
yeah.
I think this is like a really kind of, I mean, as high profile-ish of an indie gig as you can get without being like Image.
Yeah, I agree. And I think it's...
also crossover. crossover audience.
Yeah, totally. But yeah, this was not anywhere near as bad as I thought it was going to be. I actually kind of enjoyed it. And yeah, which is, I hate to say rare for a Glenn Danzig book, but it kind of is.
It's a little different than what you might expect with the Glenn Danzig, like, you know, I was kind of expecting like a Simon Bisley, just like, or like
the
a
last
Tim
third,
Vigil or something.
The last third delivers you Tim Vigil pretty hard.
For
so
sure,
you get that stuff that you were looking for, if that was what you were in it for. Yeah.
But there's almost like a Silver Age-y feel to the beginning.
So
of it.
Crazy how good that stuff is. Yeah. I really, really liked it. Okay, so next up, I'm going to go to, oh my God, I'm scrolling through so much shit. Yeah. Skipped over so many bad books.
Hey,
good
time.
Choices. The Vein, number one.
This looked good.
Yeah, it's a cool looking book. It's from Oni. It is, it's a weird, like, caper book, like a heist kind of thing with vampires, and I don't know. It's not my thing, certainly, but definitely I can see why it would be somebody's.
Yeah, and I thought the presentation of it was good. It looked like good comics. I really liked the art style of it, and it was, I was, like, almost there, but I'm just kind of, if it was, like, a mummy comic, I might have gone for it.
I agree.
Like a wolfman or a just creature from the Black Lagoon.
Literally any monster that is not a fucking vampire, I would have been on board,
much,
but I agree.
Much.
I'm totally there.
Yeah.
Yes. So there is, okay, here we go. True Lives of the Fabulous Killjoys, ooh. National Anthem number one. How about you talk on that?
Well, okay, so I haven't read it. It is Gerard Way and Sean Simon and Leonardo Romero. I really like Leonardo Romero. The last Killjoys book, I mean, this is like, it's a concept album, characters from a concept album. There's a character in it that is actually played by Grant Morrison in one of the music videos in the old one, in like, you know, when the album came out. And then they did a miniseries that Becky Cloonan did the art for. And I didn't like it as much as Umbrella Academy or anything like that, but this looks like I think Gerard Way has like enough like actually really great comics under his belt at this point that I was very excited, especially with the artist, and it looks like visually it's spectacular.
Cool.
And I'm willing to bet that this, even though I didn't super enjoy the last series.
Yeah, the first Killjoys was not my thing. Well, I tried.
Yeah, I feel like you had to be really into that album in order to really get what they were going. But some of the Gerard Way stuff can, like, it's not like everything he does is like a guaranteed, you know,
no,
awesome.
No.
But he does do enough pretty awesome stuff at this point that, like, I'm excited about it. Like, I'm going into it cold, and I wish I had more to say about it other than just visually it looks spectacular, and I'm excited to read it. And if I love it, you'll be hearing more about it when the second issue comes out.
Cool. Yeah, I mean, this is a very weird setup that we're doing here. So we didn't have a lot of setup to go into this new doing. I basically said to Bob today, I was like, I think I figured it out. I got everything set up. Come on in. So we're a little taken a little.
Almost nothing.
Yeah. So we're a little off because this setup takes a little bit more time for obvious safety precautions and all the other things that one needs to put into it.
Totally.
But yes.
Also, just like knowing I was going to be here. But that said, you know, next week it'll be great. And you know, it's not like we don't know nothing.
We do. We do know some things. We know about Bill and Ted Are Doomed number 2 coming out.
Fuck yeah, we do.
This book is so fun,
yeah.
And it's almost too bad that it has the name Bill and Ted on it. As much as I love Bill and Ted, and I love the movie, and I love like all the things that go with that, it's like it almost suffers because people will think of it as a tie-in and nothing else. And it's just such a quality book that could have been an Eltingville book, or it could have been anything else.
Mm.
And it probably would have had way more cachet with people, I think.
Really? I don't know. See, I feel like the Bill and Ted gave it extra cachet.
Well, I hope so.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I don't know how I loved
people,
the first
people
issue.
Have loved it, so it has had like a really good response. So maybe I'm wrong.
It's two of my all-time favorite cartoonists as well. Like Evan Dorkin, great as a writer. Like he's just like ideas. So like you know, it's jam-packed with like all kinds of like gags and things that like you know you might catch, you might miss, you might, you know, like you could reread it a bunch of times and get something new out of it every time. And then you have Roger Langridge, who I just think the world of as far as a cartoonist. Like he's like a cartoonist's cartoonist, I think. Like just old school awesome. I mean, he works digitally, but it still is just classic.
Yeah,
great stuff.
Yes, there's a couple of things out from Aftershock this week as well. The first one is going to be We Live number 1, which is a very cool looking book. I wish I had given it more of a chance. I did not have a chance to read a goddamn thing like everybody else.
You're getting all this stuff ready.
But I was getting all the stuff ready, and I will tell you that we have a special variant for it as well. We've got it's an exclusive to El Rey and another shop, and we've got a few of those up on the website as well. So, you know,
I didn't even know to look for this. So before I leave, I will.
It's cool. It's a cool book. It's like, it's basically one of those kind of like, sort of like Descender kind of thing where it's like it props you up with cuteness and then is like, and there's terrible things happening too. So get ready to be sad. Oh. But yeah, no, it's a cool book.
All right. And that's a number one.
That is a number one. Okay. What else? What is interesting here? Commanders in Crisis from Image Comics. I am not a huge fan of his.
Oh, really?
I'm sorry. I want to love Steve Orlando, and every time I get something, one of his indie books, I'm just like, this is not doing it for me.
So I'll talk this up, because this is
so
one that I'm going to at least check out the first issue. I like Steve Orlando from the things that I have encountered him on, which isn't a ton of indie stuff. He did some like that Doom Patrol Milk Wars. He was part of that.
He did a Martian Manhunter that I really liked.
Oh yeah,
too.
Yeah. And but he's like he's like one of the writers that does DC stuff that actually read and took seriously the Grant Morrison stuff.
Yes.
So I really like his take. But this book is basically like, it's weird. I don't know that I'm gonna like it. I'm definitely checking out the first issue because the idea behind it is it's a Crisis crossover featuring, like, so imagine like your Crisis on Infinite Earths kind of scenario, but all of the characters are brand new. So it's like a crossover with entirely new characters, and I think the idea of it is interesting, although I'm not totally sold. Like, I'm gonna check out the first issue. We'll see.
That's a bold pitch.
It's yeah.
It's bold.
It is. Also, it has an introduction by Dan DiDio, which is not really
make people very excited.
But that said, it's an interesting enough concept that I think it's worth a shot. It's basically like there's a multiverse that's been destroyed, a la your Crisis type DC events, and five members of five Earths are stranded, but it's also a murder mystery. Is basically my take from just flipping through it.
Cool.
Without reading it.
Man.
So intriguing enough.
Yeah,
didn't love the art, but it's not bad. We'll see.
No, that sounds good. All right. Oh yeah, and all my things are making noises. Sorry, everybody. So every time something sells on the website, it's gonna ding at us.
Oh man.
So I hope it dings a lot, honestly. But no promises. So Vampirella number 14. This is the final chapter of the Seduction of the Innocent story. This has been actually pretty good. I mean, this Vampirella series started so strong, and it made me want to enjoy a Vampirella comic, and it did kind of taper off, but this is actually readable, and I'm kind of into it.
This is Priest still, or is it?
I think Priest is gone. Am I wrong? No, Priest is still on it, so that's why it's still good. Okay, yeah. That explains it.
Yeah, that guy's good.
Yeah, Usagi Yojimbo number 13 is out this week. Sonic the Hedgehog number 33, and a very cool book that no one is going to buy because nobody buys these fucking $10 books. DC's The Doomed and the Damned number 1.
I'm definitely buying it. It's great.
It is really cool.
Yeah.
Please give us a little lowdown.
It's a weird, there's 10 stories in it. So it's one of those, you know, bigger dollar books. But every story is a team up of two different DC characters with a supernatural horror kind of feel. So it feels very much like a Justice League Dark style.
Yeah, but it's like there's some weird team ups
there
too. There's
some
really
weird
fun choices.
Yeah, there was like the one, I just flipped through it. There was one with Man-Bat and Madame Xanadu, which might be why I thought of the Justice League Dark. But there was Riley Rossmo did one with, it was like Etrigan and... oh man, who was it that teamed with Etrigan? I can't remember. Then there was a Superman Swamp thing, but it was just cool. All the stories are great. I know John Arcudi had a story in it. Who I love him, like he's so good. And you know, the only other artist I really remember was Riley Rossmo, who I also really love doing Etrigan.
Honestly, Riley Rossmo doing the Demon is like such a no-brainer.
yeah, definitely.
The only person I would like to see do it more is Tradmore.
Yeah, sure.
I would love a Tradmore Demon story.
Yeah, that would be cool. Yeah. But yeah, it was just a fun kind of done in one, prestige style, you know, just here's a chunk of, you know, it's not like it ties into death metal and matters. It's just like, here's some stories, you know, here's some 8-page story. I guess it's probably 10 8-page stories.
Yeah.
That would be my
pick. Awesome.
I know there's 10 stories in it because I'm looking at it and it says there's 10. It's nice to be here and be able to look at all the books.
It is. It sets a mood that isn't either my living room or, you know, a terrible Zoom meeting.
Yeah. Oh, the only thing I'm missing is my glass of whiskey.
We need to get some whiskey in the store. Mm. I've definitely been talking about this. Like, I don't know how much shit I would get from the city, but I'm into this idea. There's this shop that is down in, I think they're in North Dakota. I could be wrong. But they're super cool. And they sell beer. Ooh. But not like you can drink it in the store beer. It's takeaway beer.
Yeah.
They do like, they have a cell license for like high-end hipster beer. And I was like, man.
I think Portland has a limited amount of licenses to sell liquor, but I don't think the same is true of beer.
Beer is not the same thing.
Yeah, so as long as you didn't sell liquor, you'd probably be able to do it.
Yeah.
Probably.
Interesting. Hold on 1 second. I want to do something.
Ooh.
There. Who knows how bad that sounded? There was a refrigerator that turned on underneath my microphone. Things that I don't think about when I'm in the store. So who knows? If you heard something that sounded like us getting run over by a tractor trailer, it was not that. It was another thing.
I think it just sounded like a light electronic buzz. At least that's what I heard.
Let's hope. Okay. Let's see. So did I mention Marvel Zombies Resurrection number 3? Let me tell you, Marvel Zombies Resurrection number 3. Great book. Nobody's reading it. I'm selling so few of these that it disappoints me.
Huh.
I'm selling numbers that are more akin to an old Marvel Zombie series because people still think it's an old Marvel Zombie series. Mm. The same old boring shit that they've seen a million times. And it's not. It's way more fun. It's a survival horror story about people who are survivors as opposed to following the zombies as they destroy the world.
Yes. Less comedic.
Right, exactly.
In fact, I don't think it's comedic at all.
It actually has a protagonist, which every time they have a story with a protagonist, they did Marvel Universe versus Punisher, and that was a Marvel Zombies take, and that was a super fun story, and this is a super fun story. It's more in that realm.
Yeah.
So I'm just reminding people, when this trade comes out, pick it up. It's going to be your favorite of the Marvel Zombies thing because it is really good.
Other than like the first Marvel Zombies, which I did really like before it got like they ate Galactus and all that stuff. Like,
they ate Ego the Living Planet.
Yeah. This is definitely, I think, the highest quality. I think basically they looked at DC doing DC-ed, which is awesome, and then we're like, well, why don't we do something that's also awesome in a similar vein? And it's like, it's Spider-Man and the Fantastic Four kids surviving everyone being a demon, basically.
Yep. Good stuff.
Yeah.
So we also have X of Swords Handbook number 1 out this week. For those of you who like to read your comics in very wordy format.
It's a meaty tome.
It is. If you are completely confused by X of Swords, like so many people may be.
I was bummed when we talk about New Mutants, which I suppose there's a bunch of X of Swords out this week.
Yeah,
I think.
There's like so much.
But when New Mutants is the one title I was reading, and I kind of was only reading it when the guy I liked was drawing it, Rod Rice, and he's on this one, and I was like, now I don't want to get it because like it's just part 7 of 22. And
to be fair, the thing that's interesting, at least so far, I don't know if this carries on forever, but as of now, it's each one of these individual stories so far has literally just been how this character gets their sword. Essentially, the idea is that there's a big sigil in the middle of Krakoa, and there's a representative that needs to select a sword, that needs to get their totem sword in order to fight this thing that's coming.
Oh.
So there's some sort of impending disaster that only these people who have these swords can fend off. Each person has to do their thing. Wolverine went to hell to get because Murasama or whatever his name is, he was dead, and so he could only forge it in hell and blah 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 blah.
Oh,
so you've got all these different.
Forgot about that guy.
Yeah,
that's cool.
So everybody's got their own sword in this, and New Mutants is basically Doug is the one who's getting his Warlock is getting his sword, and of course it is his Phalanx counterpart becoming his sword.
Yeah.
So pretty cool.
Yeah. It was a gorgeous issue. I love the art. And that's cool. That's good to know what that story is basically about. But you can get the handbook and it's all right there.
And then you don't need to read the story at all.
In 45 pages of plain text.
Of 8-point font.
Yeah.
Redneck number 28 is out. Batman and the Outsiders number 17 is somehow still a comic book that is coming out stores.
I know it's canceled. This might be the last issue. Okay. I think there's a few that are out this week that are last issues for DC.
Is Hawkman one of them?
I believe Hawkman has a final issue after this.
Because this issue is called Final Justice Part 2, which in itself hilarious.
Yeah, the thing they're pitching with Hawkman is that, like, he can only die one further time, and then at the end of this issue, he dies. And I'm just like, come on, you didn't even get through one issue before you reneged on your stupid Hawkman can only die one more time thing. Because obviously he didn't die. Oh, maybe not. I don't know.
Maybe they're just sick of Hawkman.
I mean, it's the whatever, you didn't go down the road of talking about Hawkman, but it is, Hawkman is the epitome of what is wrong with DC continuity. Like,
I agree.
He's so irrevocably fucked that, like, you just, like, we're gonna 100% fix Hawkman
correct.
Now, and it's like, yeah, you did one that fixed him like 10 years ago, and then you did it again 12 times since then. Like, just why does every time have to be like, you know, I don't know. Just
no, I agree. And speaking of characters that they've fixed a bunch of times, Green Lantern season 2, number 8.
Yeah, I liked the last issue of this, and I love the art, and I love Grant Morrison, and I will never not enjoy this comic. It's awesome. To some extent, though, some of the shit that's going on in this Green Lantern comic feels like Grant Morrison just like trolling his fans. Like,
I agree.
It's, yeah, maybe even you said that. Like, I'm not sure.
It's
like,
a very funny. I love the idea that it is literally him joking with people.
Yeah,
who,
he's just fucking
just
around.
Fucking with
but
people.
It's still awesome.
It
it's
is, like, but that's the problem, is that maybe the things that we like about Grant Morrison comics aren't the things that he thinks we like about Grant Morrison comics.
Maybe.
You know, and that's...
The only thing that I really dug about the very first, like, so this is season 2, and we're 8 issues into that, and there's only 4 more issues. I guess it was supposed to get canceled now. This was supposed to be the last
issue.
Because they canceled it, said they were going to be 8, but now it's back to 12.
Oh, okay, cool.
So there's more coming, but... In the very first relaunch, Grant Morrison, Green Lantern, they did this weird thing where he, like, killed someone, and it was, like, being, like a piece of shit cop, like,
oh,
we know exist. And, like, they, you know, they did their thing with that, and it's an older storyline, so it's not like a... But, like, I love the idea of, like, if you're going to have Green Lantern be a space cop, like, putting some of the, like, modern ideas about what we know about the police... into this, like, I thought it had a lot of potential there, and they didn't really do anything with that beyond it. But every issue seems to be kind of like playing with like a different genre, and some of the stuff, like some of the dialogue in it, it's like, I think we said early on, it still feels very 2008.
Yeah, it's very 2008.
It's cool. It feels like it doesn't have any consequence to the overall DC. Like, it's just,
oh, absolutely
here's
not.
Here's a
absolutely
crazy Green Lantern.
I agree.
Yeah.
Once in Future number 12
Love
is
it.
Out. Still great. And the big ish book I think of the week is Rorschach number 1. This is a big move, and this is like what I think is obviously the book that everyone who was a big fan of Watchmen, he's definitely the breakout character that you would kind of want to read something from when they did. Before Watchmen, Rorschach was the massive, huge seller of that.
Yeah.
And then they made an interesting choice.
Yeah.
They made a choice that I think is, I think could be a very bad choice, but that's just me. I'm not sure. I would have gone way more straightforward with this story, but they decided to make it into a Tom King story.
Yeah.
And they gave it over to him, and it is a straight-up Tom King superhero murder mystery. I feel like it's almost cookie-cutter of some of the older stories, like the Visions and the, you know.
Hmm.
But we'll see. I mean, obviously, one issue into a comic is no time to make that kind of judgment.
Well, and especially not with Tom King, who pretty much writes like minimum 12 issue story arcs. Like,
exactly.
Has he done anything that was shorter than 12 issues? I don't think.
No, I think that's kind of his deal.
Except for when he was doing Grayson with Tim Seeley, which actually is still one of my favorite Tom King.
Like, that was really good.
Oh, man. Grayson was a great series.
Yeah, that was really fun.
Yep.
Batman's Grave number 11 is out.
Yep.
Apparently that thing's gonna make it to the end.
Yeah, I think that. Yeah, I mean, honestly, like, I started reading it before all the shit went down with Warren Ellis.
Right.
And, like, I'm still getting it because, like, I shouldn't. I know, but, like, I want to read the story, and
yeah,
and I like Brian Hitch, and he didn't do anything bad, and that I know of. And
Exactly.
And, anyway, whatever. It's one more issue of this after this, and then it's done.
Yeah, I still, honestly, I just don't follow much of this kind of shit. I don't follow the drama on Twitter. I don't follow the drama in the world. I basically have shut off social media with the exception of Instagram. And I only hit Facebook just to post things because it has been very bad for my mental health.
Yeah.
Like, looking at it, basically, I have never felt anything but worse. And I... Yeah, and I think it was slowly driving me mad. So I think I needed to back off.
You know how they say, like, with the upcoming vote, they're like, make a plan to vote. Because, like, that's how you got to make a plan to do it. And there's other things where they say make a plan. And, that, like, I feel like you have to make a plan for social media at this point.
Yeah, you
and
do.
So I have a plan, and it works okay. But I totally understand. COVID has just shredded every positive feeling I have about social media to the extent that I just was like, okay, like, I have to completely restructure how I interact with social media. And I've done that and kind of come to peace, like, with some aspects of it, but it's still, it's just, anyway, I don't fault you in any way for your,
It's just not great.
Yeah.
So, so I don't know why he's a piece of shit. I've heard about it. I've talked to some people about it, but I'm on third hand conjecture at this point, and
I actually couldn't say anything to it either, other than just, like, I know that he's kind of just, like, it's like, scummy, and I'm like, okay, and I know he's, you know, I just, like, I know, like, I shouldn't support people who are scumbags.
Right, exactly.
You know.
But that's the deal.
Anyway.
And so, to that end, Justice League Odyssey, number 25.
Yeah, last issue. This is the last issue of Justice League Odyssey. It actually, I was kind of curious, and I flipped to the end, and it literally dovetails into the current Justice League arc, like, directly.
The Justice League arc that's going tying into Metal?
Death Metal arc. It basically, because if you were reading Justice League Odyssey, and I know there's not a lot of people that were, and I loved it. I've been talking about it for months and months, how great it is. But it was so far afield of anything that was going on in DC continuity that to get those characters back, like, if you read the Justice League current arc, you knew that there were characters that came into it that were Odyssey characters, Cyborg and Starfire, basically. So how did they get from this complete, like, literally they were outside of the multiverse.
Yeah.
And how did they get? So it does kind of get you there. But it also, you know, I feel like it's like one of those things where it's like you're canceled and then it's like they just kind of end the series, and maybe it could have gone out a different way. But either way, I 25 issues, of which at least the second half of it is rock solid.
Yeah.
I loved I didn't love the beginning of it, but it ended well.
Excellent. Captain Marvel number 22. This is a
Unleashed.
Yes. This is a speculator book this week because there is some sort of new character in it. I did not read it, but I've noticed that people are buying it to death. And strangely, right on the heels of that is our other speculator book of the week, which is Star Wars Darth Vader number 6. I had to take this down off the website. So if you are someone who listens to the podcast regularly and you want to get Star Wars Darth Vader number 6, you have to get it directly from me because scalpers were going to take every copy we had. And this is obviously a very important book if you want to continue reading the Darth Vader series.
Yeah.
So there's a new Sith Lord that's introduced in this issue. And so people are like, oh, it's going to be worth $10 trillion. Like, everything is always worth $10 trillion. So whatever.
Every speculator book.
Every speculator book is always, just wait a year and it's always worth more than you paid for it. Guys, that's always how it works.
Now, is Disney using the comics as IP?
Yes, they are.
They are.
They are smart as fuck.
So it is potentially...
It really... That's the problem.
A speculator. True.
That's
speculator,
what's like. So frustrating. And it's funny because, like, speculators and scalpers and all these people realize that DC is not utilizing their properties properly, which is why there is no gigantic, like... You're not seeing the kind of DC...
speculator like insanity. Well,
but Punchline was
it was that, like, but I mean that was like one you see two Marvel books a week these days. Jessica Cruz just blew the fuck up when they mentioned the new there's a new series that's going to drop on something, probably HBO Max, I assume, the Green Lantern series, I think is what they're saying. That Jessica Cruz is going to be a huge part of that. So so her first appearance just got expensive.
That was an old this week. That was a Justice League.
Yeah, it was Justice League 31, I believe.
Back when she had a headband as part of her outfit. The ultra modern headband look. I actually, the only reason I even remember that is I actually just recently reread that arc. It was a pretty good arc when Geoff Johns was writing Justice League.
I like her character.
Yeah, no, she's great. Honestly, Justice League Odyssey is like anchored on her.
And yeah,
it's really good. In fact, I actually, if people are looking for Jessica Cruz stories, get the last 12 issues of Justice League Odyssey. Yeah. Like it, when it comes out in a trade, definitely get it. It's a great story, and it like is like she's the linchpin of it.
Yeah, I wish Simon Baz was not such a gigantic stereotype.
Yeah,
it's so frustrating because there's so much about his character that could be really fun, and could be interesting if he was handled a little better. But they botched it right from the get-go.
They did. The thing that they botched Simon Baz with for me was that he was the Green Lantern who also carried a sidearm.
Of course.
I was just like, come on. Like, so lame.
But I mean, even more than that. First off, I mean, the terrorist thing, he started his career putting a bomb in a car because he was a Muslim character and all these things. And it's like, dude, but ouch.
But look at the early Jon Stewart stuff where he was like stereotypical, like angry black man.
We're supposed to be further along than that.
Yeah, true.
I know we're not, but I realize that we are not further along than that. But.
That's it. Yeah, and I'm also saying like that there could be potential with the character. Like I'm not saying like Simon Baz is like just, you know.
No, but I see what you mean.
It's a character that exists, but like, yeah, but like, they don't always start in the.
Right. Jon Stewart is now an awesome character.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so. Yeah.
Actually, I heard that was going to be like a big part of maybe the movies or something like that. I read some article about how Jon Stewart was factoring big into the DC plans.
It makes sense. I think that now there's an entire generation who does not know Jon Stewart of The Daily Show. And so the words no longer have the same kind of who the fuck are you talking about that it did for that 10-year stretch when Jon Stewart was a cultural touchstone. Because that was weird. To have such a...
it's weird to me because I knew like the character Jon Stewart way before I knew. But yeah, I get that completely. I just, I think that like, why would you have Hal Jordan be Green Lantern?
I do not know.
Like, I guess unless like Ryan Reynolds was like, I want to be Green Lantern.
Yeah.
And then you're like, okay, I guess you got to be Hal Jordan. But like, other than that, like...
He should have been Kilowog.
Yeah. He would have been better as Kilowog.
I think he would have been great as Kilowog, honestly.
Yeah.
Okay, so where are we at? We are at Cable number 5.
Gobble.
And so I think it's now fine, now that we're past spoilers for these issues. If you don't want me to spoil the plot of Cable up until this point, you know, you may want to close your ears or skip forward or whatever, but
there is a skip button
but holy shit, after like a few weeks ago before one of the issues came out, I was like, man, I'm so happy that they've got the Rom the Space Knight characters are in here, and they're like, looks like we're gonna get the all of these guys back. And then Cable's like, yes, okay, you guys take my time traveling arm the nuke, sends them off into another dimension and blows them up.
Jesus.
So
get rid of these guys.
Yeah, so those guys are no more, unfortunately.
Aww.
As I was like, wow, they're gonna do something with Rom, and we're gonna get all sorts of stuff through Marvel with Rom. And yeah, no, he basically nuked their entire civilization in an earlier issue, so don't hold your breath. So Hellions number 5 is out. Captain America number 24 is out. Strange Adventures number 6 is out.
Yes.
And Dark Knight's Metal number 4 is out.
I just opened my copy of Dark Knight's Metal, and even though he's only in one panel in the entire issue, Ambush Bug is in this, and
yeah.
I am happy.
He is. This, I'm not going to lie, I feel like this issue, I'm not going to say jump the shark. Ooh. I'm going to say...
swallowed it whole.
We may... This issue was eaten by a shark, shit out, and that no, not at all. I feel like they may be running into a wall with how much shit they've thrown out there. I feel like this has painted them into an interesting corner where it's like you're at the Dragon Ball Z point of like,
yeah,
everybody's been charging up and you've blown up the planet and then you've blown up the planet's planet and the multiverse is multiverse, and it's like this issue is like, oh, where do you go, how can you finish this in any sane way?
I agree. It's actually why I like this series. It's completely just ridiculous. my mental ending to Dark Knight's Death Metal is literally just that Batman on the last, everything blows up and then like the entire everything, there's nothing left, and then just like there's like a zipper in the fabric of reality, it comes down, and then just like Batman just like sticks his head out and he's like, nothing matters at all, it's just whatever, just go read comics that you like, and then just like that's it, like it's like literally like a that's all, folks.
Yes,
like
that's all.
It has like a little sound card that plays the like you know, like that would be the ultimate ending of Death Metal to me. Like it, what
mine is, the entire universe explodes and then reforms to the Great Crunch, and you've got this giant ball of mass, it gets Batman horns and it says, let there be light, and then it explodes and he's like, I was Jesus the whole time.
Ooh, Bat Jesus actually is a pretty good one. I'd be down with Bat Jesus. Of all these like dumbass Batmans, I mean honestly, like
Batman the monster truck I think really is my favorite.
I think my favorite was my favorite moment of Dark Knight's Death Metal was the James Tynan crossover Multiverse's End, which, yes, I think I posted a panel from on the Instagram of like Owlman being like, it does, none of your bullshit matters because there already is a, yeah, dark version of Batman. It's called Owlman. It's me. No matter what happens, I'll still be around and no one will remember your dumbass. And then like he just kills everybody, and yeah, including himself. Like it's just like he just blows himself up. It's like, yeah, who cares? Like that's like the that's what you need. Like, I mean, honestly, like I'm really afraid for when Mitzelplick comes into this, because you know it's going to be Batmite and Mitzelplick at some point. Like,
oh, absolutely.
You know, if they haven't already appeared, and I've just forgotten about it because there's 5 trillion things in every.
Oh
issue.
No, definitely the Batmite that laughs is going to be in this at some point. You
except
know
for
it.
He's no longer the dark. The one, my favorite thing about Death Metal is that he's no longer the Batman who laughs.
Yes.
Now that he has the powers of Dr. Manhattan, because there's a the shit that like trying.
Spoiler
to, like,
alert! +1 on this from this issue too.
Yeah, I haven't read this one yet, but the ones in the past where, so it's like there's a Batman who was Dr. Manhattan. But then there's also Wally West is Dr. Manhattan. But then also there's like this, he dissects the Batman who was Dr. Manhattan and becomes the Batman who laughs Manhattan. And it's like, if he was Dr. Manhattan, how would he let you dissect himself in the first place? Second, if there's a Batman that's Dr. Manhattan, how is any of this shit fucking happening in the goddamn universe? I don't know. It's, I love it. It's fucking,
yeah,
stupid.
It's
and
so, it's so
it.
Full of nonsense. So we've already talked about New Mutants.
Yeah.
Superman 26 does not need to be talked about because nobody cares.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. No. I wish they did, but
started with a bang, ended with a whimper.
Yep. Agreed. Avengers number 37 is the end of the Age of Khonshu. Mm. So we finally get a wrap up of the crazy Moon Knight God goes bonkers storyline.
And setting up the next storyline involving,
yes,
another big Marvel character.
Mm-hmm. Very cool.
Much bigger than Moon Knight, in fact.
Yes. Immortal Hulk, number 38, is so good. I mean, this is such an action movie issue. It's just set up in revenge, and it's so fucking good.
Yeah,
it
yeah,
really is. I adore this series, and this is just yet another strong one. This series is wonderful because it alternates between like these really complicated, crazy stories about really in-depth philosophical stuff, and then it'll just be really good, dumb Hulk stuff. This is a really good dumb Hulk story.
Yes. Also, there's a spoiler variant. So,
there is. You
know, watch out.
If you don't want to... I mean, it's funny, though, because they redesigned the character, so you don't know who it is when you see the spoiler.
Yeah, I actually got the spoiler character variant, and I still don't know who it is.
Yeah, so it's like he's an existing character, and you look at the spoiler, and you're like, but...
Oh.
So.
Cool. I don't know. I like it. I like Immortal Hulk. It's good.
Yeah. Wonder Woman number 764 is out this week.
Yes.
I have enjoyed this series quite a bit recently. I think this is a really nice era for Wonder Woman right now.
Yeah, and it's drawn by Steve Hitman Pugh.
Yeah. And one of the biggest reveals of the year this week is out. Amazing Spider-Man number 50.
Oh, yeah.
The thing that you've been fucking... If you've been reading Spider-Man, finally, the thing that you wanted to know this whole goddamn time is revealed this week.
Yes.
So that was cool, although it still didn't give me everything I needed.
No, it's a definite head-scratcher.
I mean, there are a couple possibilities, but I'm interested.
Truth. Oh, yeah. Actually, now that you think about it.
Yeah, there's at least two.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's pretty cool. Enjoyed it a lot.
Yeah.
So
art's great, too.
Art is great. And Patton's. I don't know, man. Kindred, the design of that character is just phenomenal. I love it.
No, it's cool. And there's some weird creepy shit in it, too.
There sure is.
Creepy shit.
Creepy shit. And Flash 763 is out.
Yep.
Cool. Detective 1028 is out. Cool.
Yep.
Good stuff. And that is the end of our list.
You didn't talk about Dynamite.
Oh, you know, I did not talk about
Dynamite. Options, copies.
Yeah, that's because I fucked up and didn't change it on my FOC.
Oh.
I picked it up when, like, everyone was asking me for Peach Momoko variants, and I was like, oh, sure, I'll get a bunch of these because there's a bunch of cool Momoko variants to it. So I got a bunch of them, and then that kind of cooled down, and somehow I just missed it on my FOC to drop it down to being like...
And also Dynamite, yeah, it's not
and
good,
And also
right?
There's the Dynamite thing that's also kind of...
You also don't like that Dynamite anymore.
But,
I forgot about that.
I still don't know what the deal is. Again, I'm not hip to this drama.
That one is a Comicsgate thing. Like, there was, like, they supported... Like, there was some Comicsgate person that, like, got work at Dynamite, and they were like, yeah, we're fine with that guy working here or something, or we're going to put out this guy's book or something. I don't really know details beyond that.
We should probably
talk about that.
Honestly, I should probably know more before I go into actually making these kind of decisions. But I'm fucking busy, man.
But the thing is, it's like there's that, but then there's also like, you know, I don't know, Rorschach. There's a whole slew of people that are like, any Watchmen book that isn't by Alan Moore is, you know, so it's like, what is your, you know, Doomsday Clock has a trade, I see. Like, there's some people that
I'm really excited to read that.
Yeah, I actually did read Doomsday Clock, and I thought it was pretty good.
I read like every other issue, it felt like. I felt like I was kind of like, I would do a little like, breeze through of some of them. I want to read completely because I enjoyed everything I read from Doomsday Clock.
Yeah.
Yes. And so, yes, that said, finally there is a complete Doomsday Clock. It's about the size of the original Watchmen. It's like a phone book.
I think it's bigger than Watchmen.
Yeah. It's a sizable book. So that's cool.
A meaty tome.
Meaty tome. It is the week for meaty tomes.
Meaty tomes.
There's also, what else is out this week?
Dollhouse Family?
Dollhouse Family from, Joe Hill.
Yay.
Yeah, you're over there looking at it. Oh, the thing that I can see right now from my vantage point that I'm really excited about, I don't really do puzzles. However, This week, there is the Cast of Thousands Simpsons puzzle out that has every Simpsons character on it, and it is really cool. And since I'm such a crazy Simpsons fan, it would be a lot easier for me to do than a lot of other puzzles, where because I could very easily locate the people.
Right.
Like, okay.
Yeah. But that said, probably a lot of the pieces are just going to be yellow.
They're just going to be random yellow pieces.
Yeah.
I think there's enough characters on it that they're like multiple heads per piece.
Well, if that's the case, then it'll be a little bit easier.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. So that looks super cool. I'm hesitant to say that I would get it, but I might actually do it. There's a very cool set of retro Spider-Man figures from Marvel Legends out this week.
Yeah.
They're all based on the 90s cartoon Spider-Man figures that you may remember seeing at a KB Toys when you were a youth.
Except for they were smaller.
Yes, they were smaller. Yeah. These have been upscaled and obviously redesigned. They have more articulation points and they're way better sculpts. They're really nice.
I like that there's like a Gwen Stacy figure that has an alternate Mary Jane head. It's just
Is that for real?
Yeah. Like, it's just like you could pop off Gwen Stacy's head and just like stick Mary Jane's head on. It's like, I prefer Mary Jane.
I like the one that's still alive.
Yeah.
I
thought that was funny. Also,
that
I really
is wonderfully tasteless.
I did love that the Daredevil figure in the series is the like the Scott McDaniel design from like the early 90s.
He was in the store.
Ooh.
And he was like, everybody hates me. I can't
remember. I love Scott McDaniel. I was like, psyched to meet
him. He was like, his kids were here. And they were like, my dad designed a Daredevil, and he was like,
which, you know, that sucks because he did like 50 issues of Nightwing. Like, he was the original Nightwing when Nightwing got his like number one series, and he was the artist on that.
I think this was a long time ago. I think it was like there was a Daredevil. I think it was like the new Daredevil series was coming out on Netflix, and it was like Daredevil was a big deal, so. His kids were with him in a comic shop, and he was like, yeah, everybody hates me for that costume. And I was like, I thought that was a great fucking costume.
Yeah,
I think it looks great.
Yeah, it was, I mean, a little armory. It was kind of weird, but you know what I liked about those was I loved those glow-in-the-dark variant covers they did.
Yes.
That was like Daredevil had them, and the Spectre had them.
Ghost Rider had them.
Ghost Rider had one, yeah. Those were good. I like those variants. Bring those back.
I agree. It's so funny. It's so funny that we're like, in an age where it's so easy to do those, like the publisher that I did Rad Wraith through, the production, I could have done glow in the dark covers for like a minimal amount more. Oh. If I had known how little it would be to do a glow in the dark cover, I absolutely would have. Maybe I'll just do a special edition number one.
Ooh.
That's just a glow in the dark cover.
I'd buy it again for that.
Shit, I should do that. That would be really fun. Okay,
that's
a great idea.
I pay for myself.
Perfect. Awesome.
Pay my weight in ideas.
Is there anything else that is of value this week?
You got them Spider-Mans, you got that dollhouse. There's something behind the Doomsday Clock that I can't tell what it is.
There's
a larger book.
There's a Captain America Epic Collection that includes all of the Cap Wolf stories in it.
Shit.
Which is great.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm.
That was
a thing.
That was a thing that happened.
Yes. People love Cap Wolf. Yeah. I hope.
They made an action figure of it, so they must.
I think it's great.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think that's about it. We've got this thing going on, and so hopefully.
Yeah, this was nice to be back and actually to be like in front of you to some extent,
right.
You know, like with the distancing or whatever.
It's
but
so
like,
hard to actually respond to somebody when you can't see them, you know, especially when there's what people may or may not have realized when we do the Zoom podcast is that a lot of times I have to kick up by like a split second or even more just to get us kind of in sync. Because we are talking, there's a distance between our responses, and it's like it's very strange. You can't maybe hear it on your end, but when it's recording, it is like it's noticeable. So
well, I also like will just like blurt shit out, and Zoom is not good for blurting.
Oh, it's so bad because like we can talk over each other if we want to right now, whereas Zoom does not allow for that.
No,
it will cut you off, and so. The worst was like, I did a podcast with Damien. We did one of the Funbox Monster podcasts one of the weeks that that Matt couldn't do it, and I was like, Damien from Haunt and Strangers Pray at Night, and he is like, he's always like doing this shtick where he's very disappointed in me for my shitty taste in movies, which is probably more true than but still, whatever. But he will just kind of stop talking for a long stretch, and I'll be like, is something wrong? I don't. Okay, okay, it's not the Zoom, it's you being a dick. Got it. Fuck.
Nice. Yeah, no, it's like the Zoom can't do like the multiple. I actually have that problem when I run Zoom meetings at my job.
Yeah.
Like, except for there's like 12 people, and it's just like, oh, Jesus, can you turn your mic off? Like, it's, no one needs to hear you open your fridge. It's not, because like whenever someone opens their fridge, it derails the entire meeting. And it's like, come on, it's just mute.
Got to get that meeting beer.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Whatever.
Awesome. Yeah, well,
this is cool.
I'm interested to see how this came out, and we will continue to try to make progress in this direction.
I like it.
Yeah, it's fun. I want to add a video component because it is kind of weird that we are in a comic shop doing a comic podcast. It seems like the kind of thing that I would like to see.
We could get GoPros.
And then we could do like a ghost hunting thing or whatever.
Yeah, dude. We'll turn out all the lights. I'll get a face shield so that I can wander.
That's great.
And
perfect.
And
I love
it. And then we'll just, we'll pace the store. So there'll be a constant new visual every 5 seconds.
I love it. Awesome. Well, we will see you next week. Follow us at Actually Comics. Follow us at Coast City Comics. Buy things from coastcitycomics.com. We need your revenue to keep doing these podcasts, and we really appreciate it. We are a very, 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 very small independent shop, and we, every dollar helps, and if you spend $30 you get free shipping with code ARG exclamation point A-A-R-G-H exclamation point coastcitycomics.com.
yeah, and also despite the fact that it's a small store, it is jam-packed with things you can buy.
It really is
jam-packed. Floor to ceiling.
Quite literally floor to ceiling. And Rad Wraith 2 is out, so you can buy Rad Wraith 1 and 2. You can get a skateboard deck and all sorts of other things. We have t-shirts and all sorts of stuff, so pick that stuff up too. Awesome. Good night, everybody.
Bye.